plans that we've got going forward with Prop 8A and other financing sources and how we might use those in the upcoming school year on our facilities priorities. So with that, I will turn it over to Mr. Adelman.
Perfect. Well, thank you for having us here this afternoon. It's been a little while since we've talked to facilities, and wanted to be able to share with you what we've done since we last met almost a year and a half ago, and then what we have planned currently and what we have coming up over here in the next year and a half. So I'll have Mike and Dan lead those talks. We'll come back around to demographics, talk a little financing, and then what we have looking forward to financing in 2018 and those associated projects. I'll
turn
it over to my
employer,
our Chief Facilities Officer.
Thanks, John. Yeah. So, keep my voice in order here, excuse me. quite a summer. As you know, we have 10 sites in the district. I think at one time we had 8 of our 10 sites under construction all at once. La Casa was the smallest project, but the other 7 for projects well in excess of $1 million. And some sites, like San Diego Academy, actually have 3 separate projects going on at once. So I think it feels like school just got out last week. It's hard to take my daughter back for her junior year. It's hard to believe it goes by that quickly. So over at Canyon Crest Academy, we built Building B. Back when we built the site in 2004, we had a pad and always had intended to add an additional building. I think when you drive up and see, you'll be pretty impressed. You're hard-pressed to tell the difference between that building and the ones that have been there since 2004. You give it a year, let some of that block and paint age a little bit, it's just going to fit right in. So that building is 14 classrooms. It has 6 science classrooms on the top floor and 8 general-purpose classrooms on the bottom floor. It was certified and ready to occupy beginning of the first day of school. It was kind of fun to watch. Looked like the kids had been there forever. They just kind of take right to that. The teachers moved right in and went very smoothly. I think by now you've all seen Earl Warren Middle School. Absolutely gorgeous. Being a former Earl Warren parent, I can't hardly believe the transition. I mean, the difference between the old school and the new school is day and night, the whole way that we use the facility and the landscape to blend all that into the site is absolutely gorgeous. It features the latest and greatest in technology across the campus, as does the new building and B building as well at Canyon Crest. LCC down on the bottom left was our smallest project. We did a little landscape work on the outside, well overdue. If you recall back a couple of years ago when we did the media center, we kind of added some storefront doors and created an opportunity for an outside space. We have that beautiful hillside with a nice breeze and a gorgeous view. And we have now added the necessary landscape and a seat wall and some other things to make that more inviting and usable for students. Math and Science Building, another gorgeous building. I walked in a math classroom the other day, and I'm amazed at the view that we have. When you look around campus, you realize that that campus has stood there for 80 years, and there really isn't a second story anywhere to enjoy that view. All the years and all the renovations, we never really built up to take advantage of what we all seem to enjoy so much, that beautiful ocean view. So 11 science rooms, 8 math classrooms, all occupied. Again, I walked in there the first day and saw George Stimson, had his hat on. He's in there teaching like he'd been there for 10 years. they moved right in, and you talk about an upgrade. If you recall what the 20s looked like, when you walk into those science rooms, it's pretty spectacular. Our newest project, Torrey Pines High School, Culinary Arts. We took an old, dated, used to be a combination drafting and digital art room, and we did a wonderful renovation to that and created, we have 9 kitchens in there, I believe, and we have, I think, 5 or 6 full sections of kids packed. My daughter tried to get into that class. Too late. No, everybody wants to be in a new program. So Kelly Coward is in there along with a new teacher, Mike Lopez, and they are off and running. So it's another beautiful facility, and you would be amazed if you saw the previous one. What an incredible upgrade. If you walk in, you stop and think, wow, what did that used to look like? And I've been in that room 100 times. My friend Bruce Brewer used to teach in that room. And I go in there now and go, wow, where did the board used to be? It's totally different. and much better use of the space. So besides Prop A, we always have a few projects that come from capital facilities and other monies. The Quest Lab, the Science Lab division at Canyon Crest Academy. Over at SDA, we did a wonderful upgrade to the Learning Commons there. We added a Genius Bar and some other technology resources. We upgraded the projector and sound system, and also added some TV monitors to run a kind of a kiosk mode. Yeah, well.
You know the scoreboard at Torrey Pines, was that donated by a parent?
I believe that was all funded by parents.
Yeah, that was the parent foundation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also
why is that? Oh, okay. So project. Why is that?
I'm sorry, but John said also some of our funding as well.
They don't even design. We did the plans and the installation.
How much was it? How much did
the
parent do?
About $45,000.
Thanks.
But I think the scoreboard was about 20.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the installation 25.
Shea Structures at DeGainio, as you've been on DeGainio campus, you know that is a site built without overhangs and eaves, so it tends to be pretty bright. Everybody says La Costa Canyon is the hottest campus. I don't know, I've worked at both. It's pretty warm out at DeGainio, so the shade structure was, of course, a welcome relief for those students. And several small upgrades at LCC, the baseball netting. We also have to upgrade our backwater for our fire valves, our backflows for our fire valves as well. So, currently, what's on the agenda today? Carmel Valley Middle School. We just did our first punch walk in the PAC there. We're doing an upgrade to the Performing Arts Center, adding a multimedia projection. We're improving the sound quality in there. It was always pretty tinny and echoey. The music department and the drama department I've used that thing exclusively, and it's been okay, but I think now with the final sound additions, it'll sound a whole lot better in there. We certainly have done the drama room as well. The drama classroom has been gutted and completely redone. It's beautiful. It's got nice carpeted risers, and they kind of use that as their little black box. So we're fortunate to have Katrina out there, and does a really wonderful job with the students.
And what are they using now since this is under construction?
Right now music is in the dance room. That's an empty room. Mm-hmm. And Katrina has just kind of been working out of the classroom and working outside a little bit getting set up. That room will be ready for occupancy tomorrow. So we passed the fire on that to the drama room. We still have a couple of T's to cross and I's to dot in the Performing Arts Center, but we'll be ready to occupy that as early as next week. If Scott's ready to move the students over, he's pretty well set up in the dance room. I think when he feels comfortable, he'll make that transition over to the new room.
Okay.
And we have some deferred submittals on those. We still have the multimedia to put in, and some of the sound acoustical engineering still has to go in. But we'll continue to do that after hours and on fall and winter break. But in the meantime, it will be usable. Oak Crest Middle School, science classrooms. So we've got our portables in place. We've moved our classes in. We have done the demolition out there. And the southeast corner now is a big vacant lot. And we're waiting for the final permits to move forward on that project. That would be a nice addition to Oak Crest. Their science rooms, if you recall, were very dated. Old, some were really big and some were really small.
One from every decade, really.
Yeah. We felt that way in San Diego, too. We had... you build stuff in an old school. I think Oak Crest was built in 1958, I believe. So you begin to add over time, and you get kind of a mix and match of classrooms and equipment. So we'll certainly have some parity as we, transition into the newer building.
And I noticed that again, kind of around all the buildings, removing a lot of the overhangs, and will they need shade structures there? Or are they?
They will, and we hope to add those shade structures out in there, what they call their little quad area in the center as well.
Oh, that's in the.
Yeah, students definitely enjoy the shade. If you go to Earl Warren and look at that beautiful campus when we opened on the hottest day of the year so far, where were they? They're huddled underneath the shade structures in the shade of the building and enjoying some of those new additions to that campus. PTMS, beginning on the second classroom building, we've got that pad graded. We're starting to put in the utilities. That is going to mimic the B building that's there. It's a little bit different, but it's primarily the same kinds of architecture, designed by Lyonakis, built by CW Driver, a new company for us, and So far, they've done a really nice job. They seem very capable and competent as a builder. That project's moving along smoothly. It will open in, for the start of the school year in 2018. Culinary Arts. So that building was the old 50s. If you recall, the chem room was two classrooms and kind of a center lab in the middle. And we've taken and we've gutted that building out, and we've created one classroom in the front that would be on the north side where the breezeway is at. And then we've created two rooms that are kind of split for culinary. One that serves as kind of a culinary classroom, and one that has more of the cooking equipment in it. The regular classroom is occupied as we speak. So that classroom was temporarily housed up there on the portables that we tore out. So we moved them down into their new room, and we anticipate moving in sometime around fall break into the culinary arts room. Got some logistics challenges there because mm-hmm. kitchen equipment and culinary arts comes with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They got lots of stuff. So figuring out a plan to get them moved from the portables where they are now, the relocatables over on the northwest corner up into there will be a little challenging, but we've got Scott Huntley. He's just a rock star teacher over there. Scott mm-hmm. will make it happen,
yeah,
and we'll find a way to transition them over smoothly. Plus, we've got students. You know, if everybody grabs a box, it goes pretty quickly. That's it. So we'll make that transition over spring break, and then in the 60s, we'll be moving the art department down into what their room is and continuing the demolition. And Dan will talk more about that in just a moment. And that is it. That's predicted. I'll turn it over to Dan Young, our director of facilities planning.
Thank you, Mike. Good evening. So some of our upcoming projects for 2017, starting at San Aguito Academy, as it's being called now the Arts and Humanities Building. You probably formerly heard it called the ESA or English Social Science and Arts Building. So we're just finalizing some final negotiations with the City of Encinitas on our grading permit, and once we finalize that, we'll look to put that up to bid here pretty soon. So according to the slide there, we're looking at an early November start date on this. This building is very much like the math and science building that we just completed at San Diego Academy in terms of design, although it's quite a bit bigger. It's about 58,000 square feet and a 33 classroom, two-story building. Moving on to Torrey Pines, we're getting ready to start on the Performing Arts Center. In fact, this project is out to bid as we speak. So here in a couple of weeks, we'll open bids and look to get started on construction here at the PAC. This is going to be a beautiful addition for Torrey Pines, about 375 seat Presidium Theater, as well as a music room and a dance room. So if we were meeting next week, Mike would have presented this next part. We're looking here tomorrow to kick off solar projects at both the La Costa Canyon High School and CCA. So La Costa Canyon, we're same kind of structures that we have in terms of solar in the northeast parking lot there. Mm-hmm. So we'll complete that out. This will take us to about 440 kilowatts of production, basically bringing La Costa Canyon to just about a net zero campus. Mm-hmm. Canyon Crest. At Canyon Crest is a 306 kilowatt system, very similar. It's on the southwest parking lot. This will look to provide about a little over 200 kilowatts for Canyon Crest, and then the additional will go to the balance of that will go to offset Pacific Trails Middle School. So that'll cover probably about 30% or roughly about $49,000 a year in terms of savings for Pacific Trails Middle School. So that'll be a great addition for us there. Coming up in 2018 at Carmel Valley Middle School, these kind of projects are going to be timed together, where we'll look to renovate the playfield there as well as introduce solar to this campus. So as we wrap up the music building that Mike already talked to you about that we're currently working on, then we'll move right into this the following summer. At Gainio, I was just talking with the architect today. We've got just probably another follow-up planning meeting with the staff at Gainio Middle School. We'll go there and just one last round with the staff and the teachers there to make sure that we've kind of covered everything programming-wise. And then these drawings will look to go into construction development. And so we'll be tearing down the old portable P buildings, replacing those with four new classrooms, general ed classrooms, one computer lab, and one kind of technology-related lab, whether it's Lego robotics or something along C-Smart, something of those lines. We're also going to renovate the B building there in the front of the campus as you walk in. We'll turn it over to modernize those two classrooms. And then in the G building, we're going to renovate those and add two new science labs as well as an art classroom. One general ed classroom and a new nurse's office will go in there as well. And then finally here at CCA, we'll look to add lighting to the soccer field that's there and the stadium. And those both of those projects will start in June, the summer of next year. The CCA project will wrap up probably late summer, early fall. The Vigano project is probably about a year, a little bit over a year long project. And I'll turn this back over to John so he can talk to you about the demographics.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, so we've had a busy last year, and then still quite a few projects that will be ongoing and some new ones that we'll be adding to our busy schedule here coming in through 2018. But looking forward, next year we'll be looking to do some additional financing, another Series D for Prop AA, as well as potentially looking at a refunding of our 2008 bonds. And so what we typically like to do is take a look around the district, what's going on in terms of need. And so one of our first things that we look to in terms of need is making sure that we have enough seats for students. So looking out. So every year we do an annual demographic survey, and the numbers that you see here underneath the chart represent students that are actually residents within the district. So you're not looking at students that come outside the district. These are students that live within and that are confirmed to, that are also address checked and confirmed that live within the district. So what you can see is, in 2017, we're just under about 13,000 students, grades 7 through 12, and we'll gradually increase and then kind of settle back down to kind of where we are as you get out to 23, 24. And what you'll see here in the upcoming slides is really something that you've seen in the past, where we're having essentially a decline in our student populations in the north, and then obviously with all the construction that's occurring at the south end of the district, an increase in our student populations in the south. At the Gainey Middle School.
Right, and by the way,
because even my eyes are getting a little too old to look at these numbers now.
And these are the students who live in the boundaries of these two middle schools, so it doesn't take, we have a lot of intras back and forth between Oakcrest and DeGaino. This just looks at if naturally every student who lives in that boundary went to that middle school.
Yep, exactly. And so that's the difference between the numbers down below and the enrollment that you see on top, which is, in a way, a good thing that helps us out. As you can see there in Oakcrest, coming up in fall of 18, we have a bit of a spike there in terms of students that actually reside within the Oakcrest boundary, but more than likely outpace our true capacity there.
What's causing the spike at Oakcrest?
Oh.
Is there another development going in someplace in their boundaries? Or?
No, it's actually what had occurred much earlier on in terms of development, as you see a little bubble coming through the elementary school district coming through. And so, and you can see that's where the little bump is, and then it quickly dissipates as the classes behind come on through. And then what you see too is that the enrollment at Oakcrest is less with those students currently wanting to go to DeGaino for a variety of reasons, as well as what we're seeing is some also moving south down to Earl Moore Middle School. So, capacity-wise, at least in terms of where enrollment is, if the current variables all stay the same, we'll find capacity-wise at looks like Oakcrest will remain right around 700, and we're maybe increasing a little bit if folks roll back after construction ceases or as folks move back out of Rural Warren.
I have a question. It's, you know, we've got that charter school that's now in our district. If they're asking for space here, where would they go?
In our district?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nowhere. Well,
yeah, I mean, it would ultimately depend on how many classrooms they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have more than 80 of our students in their charter school, that's when we have the obligation to
mm-hmm.
find
right.
space for them. And so, you know, we would have to work with them on exactly what their needs would be
mm-hmm.
to try and locate a spot for them. You know, the difficulty that I would see in all of this is that if they do pull students from all over the district, they wouldn't come in one nice chunk from one school where we can do a one-to-one replacement of these
kids.
Do
we know where the kids are coming from?
Not yet. You know, they just opened a week or so ago, and I've heard they only have about 30 kids enrolled.
Oh, that's
so that's what I heard. I haven't confirmed that. I was going to wait for them to be up and running for a little while to see if we can get some insight into how many of our students do they have and where did they come from.
Where do they legally, when do they legally have to close now?
In November.
November.
Yes. That's when they put in their request to use for facilities. And then that's our, if we haven't confirmed the number of kids and where they're coming from prior to then, it would be done at that time.
So what's the number where they can have facilities?
If they have 80 of our kids, you know, or more, that's when there's an obligation to find something. Otherwise, it's voluntary to if we have it or don't have it.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And the other challenging part, too, is once we do have that obligation, it's not just a matter of finding the classroom space here or there on a particular school site. They have to be contiguous,
right?
Meaning they're all together, also supporting their admin function.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes a much bigger challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Carmel Fowley and Pacific Trails, still seeing a little bit of a bump here at Carmel Valley Middle School. Over here the next couple of years, and then with the declining, you have to take the decline with a grain of salt. I've seen this decline pretty religiously for the last decade and a half, and it always seems to maintain itself at its existing levels as families tend to move in and then move right back out, and then new families moving right back in. At Pacific Trails, we're seeing that increase over time as the homes that come in and become occupied. Currently out there, Pacific Trails, over the next 5 to 6 years, should the economy continue to churn on as it is, there's still about another 1,200 units to come online there.
So it doesn't look like, that doesn't go up as much as I would have expected at Pacific Trails.
Yeah, you're right. And that's been a little bit worried over the last year or two.
Mm-hmm.
And so far we've seen it kind of beat the expectation so far.
And we have a building coming on so we can handle the...
Right, exactly.
Community.
Yeah, because yeah, we are drawing quite a few students that I'm assuming are coming from Carmel Valley
right.
over
mm-hmm.
to Pacific Trails. And so you know, the enrollment plus the inherent growth within the residential boundary there would definitely exceed our capacity so that we do
mm-hmm.
have need for the extra building.
Right.
I think what we're all looking at is as the Village Center across the street gets
mm-hmm.
developed,
mm-hmm.
all those
yeah.
multifamily units coming
yeah.
up, will it end up looking like what we have in Carmel Valley,
mm-hmm.
or will it be a different type of demographic there in Pacific Highlands Ranch?
Mm-hmm.
If it ends up being like what we have in Carmel Valley, it's good that we're building this
right.
school right now.
I would anticipate that.
I would too.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, which is good.
At Earl Warren, this one is kind of marching right along as we thought it was in the overall master plan back in 2008. And so, you know, we still have a little bit of a bump, you know, within the school boundary, you know, push it up close to, you know, 600. But in the long run, it kind of settles back down to that smaller community middle school that
mm-hmm.
we had looked to, you know, to construct there back in 2008. So overall, at the middle school level, looks like we're on track to, you know, do the right thing in terms of providing seats for our students. At our high schools, and not just concentrating here just on the two boundary high schools, the way we look at it demographic-wise is that our academies are really driven by their existing building capacities, and then in a kind of a draconian way, we then shave those off the top and whatever left in terms of numbers reside at our boundary high schools. So in the north end of the district, once you adjust the overall student population within La Costa for the two academies and Sunset High School, we end up with La Costa currently enrolled at 1893, but over time declining down to just about under 1700 over time. And this kind of line is, well, since we're keeping kind of a static number for both the academies and Sunset through the time period, would kind of also indicate that over time, as those students in the north attend the two academies and Sunset, you'd probably also see a little bit of decline there as well in terms of demand for the academies.
Yeah, right now, it's it's neck and neck. It's 50-50. They're within a few kids of each other between San Diego Academy and La Costa Canyon. So, yeah, we could see that number being split somewhere between that, if that pattern continues, about 50-50.
Yeah, exactly. And then at Torrey Pines, you know, just like what we see with Pacific Trails, you know, we have constructed the B building there at Canyon Crest, bringing its capacity up to over close to 2,500 there. As we see the additional building coming on, same thought that you had regarding Pacific Trails, what happens in those out years as people start to occupy those buildings, those residential units. And so while starting at around 2020, we see Torrey Pines reaching 3,000 in terms of what this potential enrollment could be based upon the number of students, you know, it seems to settle within the demographic study right around that 3,000 mark, you know, at one point hitting 3,100. Which gets pretty close to its capacity there. Might want to keep a little look at what happens as folks move into PHR and how we might have to adapt a little bit here in the next year or two as we look forward into maybe adding additional classrooms at Torrey Pines High School. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
This number is pretty darn close to what we were looking at back in 2008, though, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah.
And in no way to, we did look at the overall build-out, which I think looked at around the year 2040. And it did have Torrey Pines hitting right around, I think it was 3,800. Mm. Yeah. And so it did give a little conversation back in 2008 of, do we almost build a new high school, or do we add on a whole other wing to Torrey Pines? But given that in 2008, this is so far out there.
Yeah.
We're kind of seeing what may occur.
Building a whole new wing doesn't account for the gym and the cafeteria and the library and all those permanent areas that could not possibly accommodate that many kids.
Correct.
And I know back we did a staggered when we were hitting so high. But we might be constrained with that in the future.
Correct.
Yep. So.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And that's why, as we get a little further on in here, I'm looking at planning the remaining balance of the industrial arts building and looking at that corner where food service currently is, and then as well looking a little further out as to whether there needs to be some further thought in what we do into that corner. You know, Torrey Pines early on decided to move forward with the weight room facility that we built, and it's kind of a hedge against a potential future field house there. Mm-hmm. So, in the future, we do have a little space there left on the campus to perhaps go two-story, look at some additional classrooms. There's a thought on the campus right now of taking the existing food service and moving it to where the Black Box currently is. That will eventually bring it to the center of the campus, make it much more of a student hub. Mm-hmm. And from there, we can address that. The other facilities with the additional performing arts will help out in terms of not only its arts offerings, but also in terms of what can be handled for lectures throughout the campus. and that may relieve some of the pressures that we would have in the media center or in the learning commons area. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have some additional working room that we could do there. But I'm looking to propose as part of the next bond draw that we get some planning dollars to look at this potential mm-hmm. addition to Torrey as we look at that to remain important.
I think the real concern in many of these areas is redevelopment mm-hmm. and areas mm-hmm. that might be zoned for commercial right now. And so like One Paseo is a great example of that.
Right.
So going back to the 80s, that we always thought that was going to be commercial. Well, now mm-hmm. it's commercial and residential.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that that's where at least the city of San Diego is going with its master planning, that could bring in a lot more residential, and who knows what happens in the center of our district. I know that there's some land that developers are looking at putting some additional dense, maybe not dense, mm-hmm. but denser than what's in there now, actual housing on some raw land in the center there.
Yeah.
So those are all things that weren't contemplated 20 mm-hmm. some years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I hate to even bring this up, but I'm looking at just the geographic mm-hmm. division, and I know those are aligned for probably school districts or elementary districts geographically, and I really don't want to get into that discussion, but I'm just wondering if that's something that have to be looked at, but I'm...
Yeah. No, you were reading my mind as I was looking at how large the Torrey Pines boundary is. But right now, mm-hmm. Most of that is at least north of Carmel Valley is not as dense, and so in a much future down the line,
mm-hmm.
if that 4,000 student mm-hmm. projection were to come mm-hmm. true in 2040. So I'll be retired by then.
Yeah.
that could be a consideration to move that La Costa line down in order to balance out the north and the south. I mean, that could be something, but at this point, mm-hmm. that wouldn't be a consideration. But certainly much, much down the line, especially if Carmel Valley becomes more dense than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep, and that wouldn't be the first time. I was here when we took the north half of Rancho Santa Fe School District boundary and moved it to La Costa Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, definitely be a consideration. History of financing. This slide and the next one was actually something we did for our oversight committee back in January. And so, I thought it'd be good to bring it back to share with you, as it talks about some opposing factors as well as kind of a net effect of what's occurred in regards to our financing based upon what was originally proposed back in 2012 to the San Diego Taxpayers Association and where we are now. So there's some bittersweet news within that. So that was kind of a fun item to share with our ICOC. So what we've seen over the last couple of years is we've had approved assessed valuation within the district. So that's been allowing us to, bring some regular draws in regards to our issuance of Prop AA down. As well, back in 2013, we did certainly respond to a direction from the board in regards to restricting the term of our bonds to 25 years versus doing something that would have been traditionally between 30 and probably 40. And then as well, doing away with the use of capital appreciation bonds and relying really solely on current interest bonds throughout. And so by doing this, it essentially took what would have been a program that would have ended in 2019 and has extended potentially the draws out to 2035. And so when that happens, there are there's one particular item, inflation, that then plays a factor in terms of what we had anticipated a building cost now versus what it might cost in the year 2021, 25, and 2035. And so, wanted to be able to share that with you this evening. And so, what we have here is kind of a nice synopsis of what's occurred here over the last 5 years. So, back in 2012, this line here going across the top, This is what we had shared with the San Diego Taxpayers Association. And back then, we had looked at using current interest bonds and capital appreciation bonds before they became less favorable. And at that point in time, we were looking at $449 million. But the total debt service, paying back principal plus all the interest, would have been right around $1.25 billion. And so in 2013, we decided not to issue any capital appreciation bonds as part of that first draw, our first $160 million. Still kind of had a little bit on the table, but not really. But these numbers kind of anticipated some minor use of CABs. And then that would have essentially reduced interest over time to just about $1 billion. And then as we have issued additional debt, the idea of using CABs, not only from a political point of view, using them was not a good idea, but also from a financing standpoint, the further we get along, the effective use becomes less important in the overall financing scheme. So the nice part is after we issued Series C back in 2016, and we're still looking at a few additional issuances over time, out through 2035, for a total par of $449 million, our kind of projected overall debt service cost is way reduced, going from about $1.25 billion down to about $740 million in terms of payback. And so that part's really nice, because we do end up saving taxpayers in a good $500 million. So there's no doubt about that. But when we extend out the projects over time, we didn't anticipate any additional escalation beyond the original program period ending around 2019. And so as we've issued the debt over time, the finance plan changes based upon how things are projected out into the future. And so as we stand right now, on the conservative side, assuming that we had built into the overall program through all of the projects enough escalation to carry us through 2019 or even 2018, we would probably have to add or find another $68 billion.
Million.
Or, I'm sorry. To me, it sounds like, feels like billions. $68 billion. To fully construct the buildings or the additional projects as they were kind of originally visioned back in 2010. And so, and so part of the struggle will be, over the next decade and a half is, how do we try to address this by still trying to fulfill all the projects on the list, but being able to afford them. And so, this next slide, there is some good news here. All of the remaining projects for Prop A now fit on one page. And so we are making great progress. But I did take the time to go through each of the projects, kind of figure out when they were originally planned in the overall scheme of things, kind of where they're projected now, and what escalation we have included, and what it would really kind of take if we kind of held them to this projected year. And so that $70 million grows to roughly a little over $100 million in added cost. And so this also kind of gives you kind of a good idea of just that detrimental effect of inflation over time. If you're looking at Sunset High School, we were looking to essentially do and complete that project back in 2014 according to the old schedule. Now it's currently projected to be done in 2025, so I'm going to look to bring that forward. But here you have a $10.7 million project, and carrying it out to 2025 would cost you for the same project roughly $17.5 million. If you're looking at San Diego Academy, which was reconstructing the gym and remodeling what was the Mustang Center, now the Mosaic, your estimated cost goes from $20.7 million all the way up to around $50 million. buildings as that pushes out another 10 years to 2035. So, you know, part of what we can do in terms of covering this additional escalation is with Prop 51 being back in play at the state. We're waiting to see how the State Allocation Board and the Office of Public School Construction kind of retool the state school building program. You know, a year ago, I thought our eligibility was right around $50 million. However, the last two changes that they've enacted would cause us to have probably something less. A good example is that Pacific Trails. We put that application in a few years ago. The thought being that they would fund that application based upon the need at the time that we built Pacific Trails back in 2013 when we started that. The latest set of rules would dictate that we reestablish our eligibility for that school site based upon the need for the school today. So we would obviously not have as much need today as we did back in 2013 or prior. So there would be a loss of dollars there in terms of grants. The other thing that's kind of interesting that just came across my desk yesterday was that in addition to lowering the eligibility, also in terms of funding, they would not fund us at $2017. They would now fund us on $2013. So they're kind of using both sides to play against it in order to reduce the amount of money that would then come down to school districts. So we're going through that analysis now to see where we might end up. But that's one particular area that we could look at in terms of gathering dollars if we desire to put towards these projects.
You know, and the original sizing of Prop AA was based off of if we had no other dollars, no state dollars, could we do all of this? And under the original plan, 449 would have got all of that done. But now as we stretch out the program, we started thinking about the state funding as having to rely on it more over the last few years. And now it is unfortunate that they are changing the rules midstream on that. Now it's what we thought might help us offset that inflationary factor is now not going to stretch us as far.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So we've been looking at a couple other things you'll see a little later in the presentation whereby we do have some other local dollars, whether it's on roofs or developer fees that contribute, something that's in a way being led by Brian Marcus at Wacosta Canyon is looking at the projects that are in the future, looking at what the existing need now is today, and then perhaps retooling those projects down in scale. And so that can also have some dramatic savings. So before we get to that, though, we're still continuing to hold our pledges, not exceeding the $25 per.
Okay, question. You're saying that Brian Marks is talking about scaling down what's needed for the Cost Canyon. Would that come back to the board? Or who does that come to? Is it, can you automatically do that? Or does that have to be a vote on that?
Oh, no. Well, we're going to talk about it this evening, mm-hmm. so you have an idea of what's being proposed. But it would come back to the board in terms of the project and the contracts associated with the project.
Yeah, as we go through these facilities workshops, is always looking at that next funding option and what we can do within that.
I guess if we promise them something, the voters, and we have them vote on this, and then we're not delivering on the vote. I guess that's where I'm going with that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because if we're scaling down, that's not what the letter of the law that we ask them to vote on.
Well, it's a project list, and so it's the obligation is that we don't spend it on anything other than what's on the list. But you will see other districts out there who often will not be able to accomplish everything mm-hmm. that's on the list. So that's what we are able to fund. There's not an obligation to do that, although that's definitely what we're trying to get done. And so that's why we've tried to draw funding as quickly as we can to beat inflation and mm-hmm. to get as much done as we said that we would.
Right. Yeah, I think the present view is to try and do what we can afford today versus the risk of not being able to do it all mm-hmm. in the future. As well, the usual, make sure that our repayment terms don't exceed 25 years. just doing current interest bonds. And then we're still continuing to look at the projected yearly assessed value, still keeping that to a 4%. And so this busy slide here really summarizes the last couple of slides. But what we've seen, though, is right now we're right around $22.29 per $100,000 AV. So we've seen increases in AV again. So that's kind of this little gap between where we are now today and the red line going across. And so there's opportunity here in 2018 to issue a new series bond in Series D that would take care of the next couple of years, looking out to around 2021. And then, provided things continue on as they are, there would be a Series E probably around 2021 thereabout to fill a little gap, and then another Series F and G as we move out over time. And then I'd imagine probably sometime in the spring of next year we'll come back around and share with you where we are as we get closer to actually issuing debt and doing the project list for that next series of bonds. Yeah. So what we're looking at today for Series D is if the market maintains where it is, should provide about another $22.2 million, which is good news because when we looked at this back in 2016, we didn't think this Series D would be any more than $8 million. So we have a little more capacity to bring some of these projects forward and save on that inflation cost. And so one of the things that I'd like to propose is that Sunset High School, this project wasn't thought to be done until the year 2025, but I think we have a really good opportunity to make use of the relocatable village that we already have at San Diego High School. In 2019, the Arts and Humanities building should be complete. We should be moving the San Diego students out of that interim housing into their new building. At that point in time, the plan was to remove those structures and then return it to that in the parking. But if we're able to bring Sunset forward, it turns out that the portables there would actually house the Sunset campus capacity. So we could save money in terms of any new interim housing for Sunset by reusing San Diego Academy. And then the campus reconstruction for Sunset is looking to be right around a 12-month deal. And so we could potentially house Sunset at San Diego for a year, have full use of the Sunset site, and just knock out that construction and have it available then in the fall of 2020 to move the Sunset students back and then return the parking lot back to the San Diego High School Academy. It would also save us probably about $4 million bucks by doing it now versus doing it in the year 2025. So that's
And it would be the first time Sunset's been in permanent classrooms since the 1980s, I think.
Correct.
Maybe 70s. Mike, do you know?
Yeah.
Either Mike.
Go ahead, Mr. Girl.
They were at Vulcan.
Okay.
For a period of time in the 60s, and they were on the fairgrounds for a period of time.
I thought they were at SDA for a while in their history, but it's been a, maybe they've never been in permanent classrooms.
I don't think they have.
Okay.
Yeah. Which would be good. The termites are certainly active there.
Demolition will be very easy.
Yeah. Just let them keep chewing away.
Some other here on the list, on the natural scale of things, at San Diego Academy, we were looking after arts and humanities to, over some summer stints, start to modernize the industrial arts building as well as the kind of two admin portion buildings there as part of the main quad area of the 1936 campus. At La Costa Canyon, I've been talking with Principal Marcus. Very studious. He looks at these documents from time to time. And where they are program-wise, and given the overall demographics of the school site, he's not sure that the additional expense of building an indoor court is especially needy at the school site. And so the thought was being proposed that we do a weight room in similar scale to what's at Torrey Pines High School, with the addition of perhaps a team room, and then taking the outdoor courts that already exist for basketball and improving them to a sports court that can be done on the exterior. And so that would essentially take a cost of roughly $8 million down to around $1.5 million, bringing that on a couple points much earlier to the campus than what was originally programmed, so they get beneficial use. As well, it also gets rid of the two portables that currently house their weight room facility. And and so that's what we would look to do at La Costa Canyon there. At Canyon Crest Academy, a small minor project to just finish out the learning commons. A couple years ago, we've gone through to the audiovisual component. So this would be coming back through, doing the carpet and the paint, and moving a wall or two to allow for some collaboration rooms for students. And then we have two additional planning projects, Oak Crest Middle School for the next round of modernization there as we wrap up the Science Quad project. And then at Torrey Pines High School, looking at that whole corner there in regards to the Arts and Industrial Arts building, some additional tech classroom that was envisioned as part of the original master plan, and then the gym renovation. And so so coming out of that, we could have a good amount of flexibility whereby as we redevelop the remaining edge there of the Arts and Industrial Arts building, we could potentially add in some future classrooms for the future if the next year's demographic kind of show that we might have that need. But it also starts begging the question of Torrey Pines, rather than knocking down the gym and building a taller gym, do we use the gym that we have now? Do we go through and structurally retrofit it to bring it up to code, maintain the same building height, but go in and redo the interior over a long summer, and then come back and do some ancillary spaces to add to the overall gym footprint to accommodate gymnastics and wrestling, and then perhaps redoing their locker rooms to make better efficient use of that space. So some of those are the things that we'd like to talk about here over the next year, year and a half, as we look at that piece of Torrey Pines High School to potentially address what's coming in terms of population growth, as well as the remaining components, at least under Prop A. The other
question. Question.
Sure.
The industrial arts areas in the academy and Torrey Pines.
Mm-hmm.
The academy currently has a room that has an amazing amount of equipment stuffed into that room.
Mm-hmm.
It's used by the robotics team. And it's used by the robotics teams from the other three high schools as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's become a really, really serious activity,
sure.
Almost a sport, and certainly at SDA and,
sure.
And maybe elsewhere.
Well. Mm-hmm.
A lot of, a lot of competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very interesting what they're doing. That now that just happened that the SDA group were in a panic that we were going to demolish their shop, and therefore there would be none for anybody. So I'm wondering, these industrial mm-hmm. arts buildings, would they be accommodated? Is there a plan?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Both on whether it's the interim or. And how it might be phased as you move through the building
mm-hmm.
Over time, and especially when you get into some of these more complicated modernization projects. But at the end of the day, what was originally envisioned in 2008 or 2010 as part of our overall design,
mm-hmm.
we look at what was originally envisioned, and then that's part of our design process to go back to the site and the staff and the students to make sure that what we're constructing today fits for today and provides some flexibility for what might occur in the future. Mm-hmm. And so, San Diego, I know they have the big metal shop. Extremely important.
Yeah.
And would be extremely hard to, can't really cram that into a relocatable on an interim basis. So that's one of those things you'd have to craft during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And, as you might have to phase it throughout the building. Torrey Pines High School is exactly the same way with their auto shop and their woodworking classes there as well. And so what we might be looking at as part of a future design topic is, that's the program that we have today, but what are the programs that might occupy that space in the future, and how can we best put in new infrastructure to help make that transition easier to do in the future so it comes at a lesser cost. So,
thank you.
So that would be our overall proposed projects there.
And just because everybody always asks, what does QSCB stand for? That's our that's the principal on our solar debt.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then as well, that's not usually that short-term taxable piece that you see. And so we also use those dollars for those smaller lifetime purchases, such as furniture. Okay. So the next bit of possible funding could possibly come in around May to August of next year, as we might have the ability to refund our 2008 special tax bonds. And so it's been a long while since I've talked to you about our community facility districts, but just to give you a snapshot, they are spread out over our 85 square miles. Dark blue here is all the various projects across our 9 CFDs, Community Facility Districts. To date, that accounts for a little more than 2,700 acres developed, and represents, I think, in the district overall, we have roughly 75,000 housing units. So this represents 11,000, almost 500 of those units throughout the district. And on our current tax roll, they generate a little more than $8 million. So this $8 million goes to pay debt on those 2008 bonds that we'd look to refund, see some economic savings on, and then it also goes towards paying the debt on the 2016 bonds that we just issued that are paying for our solar projects, our field replacement projects. Yeah. And so, just some kind of really high-level points in regards to our potential 2018 special tax revenue bonds. When we did our 2016 bonds, we paid off those high-interest 7% subordinate bonds. So we got rid of those. We still have our 2008 senior and 2008D subordinate bonds. By doing this refunding, it would put our 2016 bonds, which are currently called subordinate bonds, on the same plane. So everybody would be on parity with this refunding in terms of our overall debt. We would likely see, and this is something that we'll have to look at as the market develops between now and then, but if we were to issue today, you'd probably save about $3 million in terms of overall economic savings. The new indenture, as part of our new authority that we created as part of our 2016 bonds, would allow for additional bonds to be issued as part of this refunding. So this would allow for additional dollars that would be created by the economic savings, as well as those permits that occurred between 2016 and today. And so, and then the other really large portion would be in 2008 when our surety holder, which is that bond that insures our bond, when AMBAC went bankrupt, we had pledged to our investors a cash reserve. And so back in 2016, we fulfilled that and filled that with cash. So we have about $5 million that potentially could come back to the district as we would look to provide a new surety bond in its place.
Do we have any money that we, because we've been under, is there extra money we have in the bonds, in the prop dollars?
In terms of?
And that, because we've been going under projects, is there any extra money that we have, like as a cushion or anything else that you anticipate?
So that was back at Prop A. We're on different dollars now, but to answer the question, if you.
Well, I was going to say, but on the Prop A side, those savings have been going towards the
right.
projects that we've been doing to bring them right. on forward.
I guess
and
my
so
there
is so basically everything is pledged right now.
But yeah. if things were to go up, is we would just slow it down then? I guess that's my question.
Well, yeah. So as escalation takes hold. So if there is an extra $100 million worth of added cost to our project.
Mm-hmm. Unforeseen.
Yeah.
It
would occur over time. Yeah, it either come back down to kind of what we talked about, either re-envisioning that overall project mm-hmm. and perhaps scaling it back
mm-hmm.
so that we can afford it, or
prioritize
it. May have to do away with the project.
Okay.
It seemed not important.
So we don't have the extra money it's all gone just that
yeah, everything okay. yeah, just gets rolled right into the yeah, it gets
down.
Rolled right into the next project. So
okay.
you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So on the Mellow Roof side, in our 2016 bond, we're a little bit mm-hmm. too early as we're just now starting to get contracts rolling and projects going mm-hmm. to see where we might have some potential savings there.
Okay.
But these new dollars in this is a high level of guess at this point. We'll have no more here in a few months. But potentially there could be new dollars of $7 to $12 million.
That we could use
right.
towards some of the
projects
that fit the right who we owe projects to based on collecting loans.
So you could either do it for supplemental financing for Prop A.
Okay.
Good segue to this slide.
Actually, if you could go back one slide because I do have a question to clarify. So with the potential economic savings of $3 million, that's basically what that is interest that we wouldn't have to pay.
Oh.
And
mm-hmm.
so we have, as the board knows, when you know, we set the special tax rates and you know, the folks that buy into the CFDs,
mm-hmm.
you know, that is a flat rate tax that's in effect for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
So we would still be receiving that revenue. So that's what creates additional project funds because we would be able to use that for projects rather than paying for interest, which is what we're doing now. If we refund those bonds,
mm-hmm.
the $7 to $12 million that includes the $3 million of economic benefit.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's
well,
yeah. So to
some degree that we might get
right.
some of that reserve dollars back too.
Oh, okay. So that includes the $5 million in the reserve as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm kind of hedging there. It might be,
okay.
might be
so
not the whole five.
Okay.
So it might be seven, and then there might be some new money
right.
between that eight. Might be another $4 million based upon permits.
Okay.
Is
okay.
next slide going to talk about, let's say, your projection next 3 years in the Mellow Roof? Is that going to go up? Because I know that's where the building is down south.
Correct, yeah. So those other 1,200 units at some point, we tend not to issue debt based upon future projections. But as those 1,200 units, for instance, of BHR come online, then there
mm-hmm.
could be opportunities for additional new project dollars as part of the new bond.
When do we
yeah.
anticipate staff in the building? Is there an ongoing expectation, to lack of a better word.
Our construction or the
residential.
Or the development. Okay.
That's a really good question.
yeah.
Every time I think they found every last piece of land to develop, developers find a new way to move into areas that were previously not thought to be developed. And so right now I believe on my overall list, while we have 1,200 in Pacific Highlands Ranch, there is probably, I think it's another 2,500, 3,700 total of units that are, at least have tentative maps
mm-hmm.
throughout the district.
Okay.
And as developers come and engage us.
How many did you say?
3,700 ground total.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that land, you know, when you go down to down to C6, I mean, it looks like there's a lot of open land.
Mm-hmm.
Is that all zoned residential, or is that ag, or what is the residential?
Some of it's protected right now.
Okay.
But I've seen over the years,
Sometimes they trade that protected land here for protected land somewhere else
right,
that
yeah.
they're developing.
Well, Pacific Highlands Ranch, some of that was traded with the protected land.
Correct.
From
right,
the
exactly.
valley.
So yeah.
even
and around the basin you know, there. Redeveloping to this more dense type, you know,
well,
could also have a,
that's
an impact.
I was
yeah.
The General Plan Advisory Committee, when I was working on that, was in Salinas, and I know they've been mm-hmm. grappling for a long time with how they handled that. They were looking at mm-hmm. rezoning mm-hmm. areas that mm-hmm. might be joint or multi-use,
right.
then
right.
go from having just retail
mm-hmm.
to having people yeah. living there.
And what they're also doing yeah. is because of the great need for more affordable housing,
mm-hmm.
is that
right.
they're
right.
giving developers these incentives
mm-hmm.
that if they put in affordable housing, or
mm-hmm.
it only has to be 15% of the units
mm-hmm.
that they're putting in, they reduce the parking
mm-hmm.
tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's all about parking for developers
right.
for the most part, so they can
take
an office building
yep.
mm-hmm.
and redevelop it into residential,
right.
mm-hmm.
and where we have no people living there now, we
right.
could have
mm-hmm.
hundreds living there
right.
because they can redevelop
commercial.
Yeah,
and
we
that might make more sense
yeah.
for a lot of
mm-hmm.
so,
sure.
so I think that there's going to be a lot of info.
And that's
yeah.
that's something I actually brought up in our North City West meeting earlier today, that you know there, you've got that whole area that right now, you know, if you looked at say High Bluff or other
mm-hmm.
areas, there's
mm-hmm.
office buildings that might be
mm-hmm.
on their last
mm-hmm.
legs, and a developer
mm-hmm.
might say, hey, I've got
mm-hmm.
a different idea, let's knock it down and
mm-hmm.
put something else up, and we're going to have to consider how do we mitigate those residential impacts on our current schools.
Yeah, and
yeah.
a lot of cities
yeah.
have seen great
yeah.
resurgence in areas by having mixed use.
Mm-hmm.
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 Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and so that kind of leads to the longer-term conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, back in the day, you know, in terms of kind of what we know immediately, you might see construction cease maybe in the year 2035,
mm-hmm.
based upon
wow.
current projections.
Mm-hmm.
But as
they find other ways
along,
to do it,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
it continues to get extended
yeah.
out and extended out.
Yeah.
The last projection that we looked at was around the year 2050, and the county kind of looks out to long-term construction.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe it will ever really
happen. Yeah, and you know, in 2006, when we looked at it, it looked at a lot different than what actually happened because
right.
of the recession.
Exactly.
So the recession chilled everything
well.
Out, and then it didn't really start back up until 2011, 12, 13, until we started seeing permit activity start up again. So there was a kind of a dark period there where nothing was happening, and that stretched out the ultimate build-out.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting then, yeah, yeah, just anecdotal. It'll be fun to see what happens in the future, especially as the county tries to struggle with its housing crisis,
mm-hmm.
as to restrictions along Del Dios up in the north
mm-hmm.
end up changing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's mm-hmm. really where the largest grade of unprotected land is, but it's
mm-hmm.
currently zoned for kind of one house, 1 acre right now.
Mm-hmm.
So
we'd
be curious to see how that changes.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
I might go buy a house there.
Now's the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah. So, you know, as we get closer to the refunding of the 2008 bond, yeah, so we have a couple projects that you know, Dan spoke about that are out to bid. We have our Performing Arts Complex. We have our Arts and Humanities Building. Besides inflation, we're seeing also the dramatic effect of our bids coming in no longer at our estimates as the tremendous amount of construction that's taken place here in the state. So there's definitely a thinning out of the availability of contractors. And we are currently out on our second bid at the Performing Arts Complex because our last bid didn't even garner a grader. We had a couple people interested, but we're too busy to submit a bid.
Wow.
So we at least reached back out to them as well as a few more. So we're confident this next time around we'll hopefully get a bid. But between graders, people who do windows, doors, specialty trades, they're definitely getting pinched.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the last economic report I was reading, in the state of California right now, for the last 12 months, we're right around $74 billion worth of construction, up 44% from the last previous period. But the construction force has only expanded by 8%. So there's definitely a lot of work out there for the limited amount of contractors that we have. So with that, might need to possibly put some of these additional dollars towards our existing Prop A projects.
just to keep them going. Might be a possibility. Or there are some other needs that are out there. At the La Costa Canyon, built back in 1996. For those of you that may not know, we have a river that runs through it underground. And if you're to go out there now, you do see some movement with the pavers and the sidewalks. And so engineering for drainage has greatly improved since the 90s. And so one of my recommendations might be to do a drainage improvement there to extend the life of the Performing Arts Complex there on that campus. And then as well, we might move forward with the weight room and team room and outdoor court. We would possibly look to supplement that with some improvements within their existing gymnasium, as that gym is also coming up on 20 years. Mm-hmm. Oakcrest Middle School, we talked about shade earlier. Doing some additional shade structures there on that campus. Mm-hmm. At Canyon Crest Academy, it's already hard to believe that that school is well over a decade old now. Mm-hmm. And is showing some signs of needing some love there, so doing some gym improvements there would also go a long way. At Torrey Pines High School, we do have some projects. It's been a while since I've updated you on this, but back in 2012, started on going through all of our uncertified projects with the DSA. At that time, we had about 33 projects throughout the district, dating back from the 1980s. They haven't been certified, and so we are now down to our last five projects, two of which are here at Torrey Pines High School, which are the varsity baseball and softball dugouts and storage facilities there. Need to do some additional ADA work there to bring those into compliance. And then as well, in certifying the press box at Torrey Pines High School, had found that the press box had been built in almost entirely different than the plans that were approved by DSA. And so so we would have a need to essentially replace the press box there to bring it into compliance. So I'd like to definitely use these new dollars, especially since they're associated with dollars there in the South, to put to Torrey Pines High School. And then the other topic that will be discussed here over the next several months is as we redevelop Sunset High School. One of the things when it was put in, back in the late 70s, early 80s, wasn't the notion of today's stormwater requirements. Mm. And so as you've seen in our projects, a lot more of the acreage has been taken towards doing these hydro modification basins and such. So there may be a need to boot the campus in the same some shape or form up onto that upper level and have a need to relocate the warehouse in order to accommodate all of the new requirements. It's a 2.6 acre site, so it's a pretty small site to deal with anyway. And as well, we're working through the city as there appears to be some easements to have a road go through it that we'll have to have released. So we'll be working on that over the next year and a half. So might have to move down there. The interesting part is when we were going back through the old industrial arts plans, where the dance room currently is, used to be an old warehouse facility for the district. At least that's it was programmed. So the infrastructure's there. Yeah, if we turn it back. So that's what we have there. So we'll look to discuss this more here in the future as we learn a little bit more of what dollars are truly available out of this refunding. Yeah. And so our next steps, next month, we'll look to try and get RF, get a request for proposals out on the street for legal team, underwriters. We'll continue to go through that process. And once we have those folks on board, put a little bit more meat on the bones in terms of the overall financing plan. And then for Series D, probably between March and May of next year. Look to issue that additional series, and then May to August, thereabouts, do the CFD bond refinance. That's where we are. Any questions?
Well, thanks for asking questions along the way. As you can see, the team over here from our bond office, which is really more than just bond. Well, I guess it's different types of bonds now. It's not just Prop AA and the general obligation, but also our CFD bonds as we can access more of that funding. We're really looking at the entire master plan more holistically now than just Prop AA. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're careful to make sure that, you know, the Prop AA dollars are spent on the Prop AA authorized projects. Anything that doesn't fit within those boxes is something for consideration on the CFD bonds, and then the CFD dollars also can supplement what we're doing in Prop AA. But it really is an overall master plan look now, you know, as the Prop AA dollars are being spent.
Okay. Any other questions? Great presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A lot of great information. Thank you. All right.
We're done.
We're done.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.